Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
We're going to put on our business continuity and disaster recovery hat today and talk about, I think, a two-part podcast is what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
We're going to start by talking about the traditional idea of the business impact analysis.
Right.
So what is the BIA, Jen?
That's a good question. So the BIA, or the business impact analysis, is, to me, it's sort of just a process to help determine critical functions within a company and what the relationship is with each other. I mean, in Jen's
that's
words.
That's a good plain English description of the BIA.
In Jen words. Not the ISO definition, the Jen definition.
ISO says in the 22301 standard that the business impact analysis is a formal and documented evaluation process for determining continuity and recovery priorities, objectives, and targets.
Yeah, what I said.
It goes on to say that this is really about understanding the organization and its context and the needs and expectations of interested parties in order to be able to select business continuity strategies, implement business continuity solutions, and write business continuity plans using this data.
Yes.
But I liked your simple explanation.
Yeah, well, we've had to describe this to organizations.
Many people.
Recently quite a bit, right? Yeah. Because there is a lot of confusion as to what exactly do I need? How do I get there? And then what do I do with the information once I have it?
Right. So in the traditional world of doing the BIA, the way that I would say business continuity has been done for many, many years, there's kind of a multi-part process here that we typically start with. You're starting with a risk assessment to understand the risks and threats to an organization. And through that conversation, you determine through some mechanism the criticality of functions, because companies have teams. Those teams perform functions or processes, depending on what term you want to use. And those processes are either critical or not.
Right.
Companies define what is and is not critical. For example, in the world that I grew up in with BC, a function that needed to be recovered within 30 days was a critical function. Everything else wasn't. But we have lots of different definitions as to how you get there. We would typically do a survey or some type of mechanism in a tool like Archer or Fusion or LDRPS or something that allows us to capture enough detail to understand whether or not this process is critical or not.
Yes. And if you're not a huge organization, it doesn't need to be an expensive tool. It can be as simple as, like you said, a survey to determine what's critical and why it's critical.
Right.
The company can set the definition of what makes it critical, what timeline makes it critical. Like you said, you remember doing 30 days when you grew up doing this, it's to determine your criticality, right?
Right.
But it could be 2 weeks, depending on what it is.
That's right. It could be, or it could be
longer.
A week. It could be longer. That's, I mean, yeah. The company sets this. You just need to define it. Like, this criticality, critical function to us means X. But once you define that, then you conduct the business impact analysis on that team or function or division or department, whatever the organizational layer is that you're going after. And what do we do in that BIA process? What are we seeking to understand?
Yeah, so again, Jen's definition here, which is not always the book answer. But essentially, it's a series – you're asking yourself a series of questions, right? So in this business unit – what makes it critical? You're ultimately determining what makes it critical and what upstream, downstream units may also be required to keep this function going.
Right. Is it dependent upon something?
Yeah.
And is something dependent upon it?
Sometimes it's based on a dollar figure. Mm-hmm. You know, without this, after certain amount of time, it's going to cost the company $50 million.
Right.
Or something like that. It also will outline, you know, how many people you need to make this function work, how many facilities you need to make this function work. It sort of starts to outline all that you need to keep this critical function going. That's Jen's words. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're on the right track. There's, you know, some companies, we should point this out, some companies or tools will separate the idea of what information goes in the plan and what information goes in the BIA. Often, some of the things you describe, like facilities and dependencies, might just be in the plan as opposed to being the BIA. in our mind, it doesn't really matter. You capture it in a place that makes the most sense for the processes that you're using. Right. But what we're really seeking here to understand is, what is the impact of a disruption or outage to the function? And what are the things that can make that outage happen? So a lot of this for us is like, what's the financial or regulatory or legal or reputational impact of being offline for an hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours, 24, a week? I mean, you set the time, kind of set the timelines on it, onto what you want to measure. But that's really what you're going after, is what is the impact if this function is disrupted? And often you're also looking at what are the things that could cause that disruption, where you're mostly looking around loss of facility, loss of the team, loss of technology, loss of third party or vendor services, and what does that mean for the impact to that organization? And out of all of that, you get to, hey, here's my, you can call it a recovery time objective, an RTO. You could call it a maximum allowable outage, an MAO. I don't really care what you call it. But you're aiming towards some metric that you're going to use consistently across the organization to understand what that impact looks like and how quickly do you need to recover this thing, this particular process.
Yep. And once you get through that process with all the critical functions, it's kind of like a mind-blowing. All of this information comes together. And sometimes you're identifying things you didn't realize existed, but everyone else knew, but maybe a certain team didn't know. Mm-hmm. Like that certain team didn't know that all these other teams counted on them.
Right.
Within 24 hours or 2 hours or 4 hours or whatever that looks like.
Right. I mean, we often hear, particularly when talking about technology teams, and you get into like a Wintel engineering team and in a company that uses Active Directory for everything. And usually you hear one of two answers. You hear the person that's not cognizant of the real world, which is, yeah, I just manage Active Directory, and if it goes down, no big deal, which I heard recently. Or you get the more mature answer we heard from a head of systems engineering recently, which was, yeah, so I've got two functions here that if they go down, we are in a world of trouble, starting with Active Directory. If that's down, we've got problems. The second was ping fed. If that goes down, we've got problems, all because it's tied to authentication, and literally you can't get into your computer, you can't get into an app, you can't get into the internet. All these dependencies tied to that,
right,
which are all obvious to this individual, but not obvious to the business team, who is like,
I can work from
ping?
Home.
I can work from home.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, you can't because ping's down. And they look at you and go, what's ping?
Yeah.
But if you this is, it's great, true information that you get in the BIA process, or you pick up as a part of being involved in dealing with technology incidents. But my experience is normally the business won't know about this until you highlight it through a BIA and business continuity planning process.
And it certainly is a tool that you can then use to educate your leadership.
Right.
So whether that be, we need to put more time or energy or money into making sure this function works, because here's what the impact is on the rest of the company.
Mm-hmm.
We stop making money if we don't have X, Y, and Z oftentimes helps sell that picture.
Which is why it's important to capture financial impact. Like if this function is offline, that function being offline can cost us money in that I need you spend because it's offline, or I can't do something that generates money and therefore I'm going to lose money during this outage. I know the world I came from, POS authentication for credit card transactions and processing of check payments is a big issue at point of sale, because if our point of sale gateways and systems were down, we couldn't process, or we at least couldn't authenticate. We did have some ways to process manually and then deal with it later when the systems came back up. But I remember Black Friday, 1 year, the Visa went down at the retailer that we worked at for a brief period of time. And man, people were freaking, even though they knew, we knew within a minute or two what had happened and had it back up within a couple.
Mm-hmm. But a couple of minutes in that scenario can really cost.
It felt like a long time.
Yeah.
My boss was in the room breathing down my neck.
It's also a reputational concern, right? So even if, let's say you are you're a company that uses the same type of system, but you have a vendor that provides that service to you and that vendor has an issue. Mm-hmm. Customers don't care if it's the vendor. They're there trying to buy from you, not the vendor.
That's right.
So it's also a reputational concern.
The BIA also helps you answer the question that, particularly in a larger organization where you have multiple facilities and you're probably in multiple cities, but it helps you answer the question when you, you know, when you get the phone call that, hey, building four is down. We have a power outage and it's not going to be restored for 48 hours and the generator is not working and we have no generator fuel. What's the impact of that? And your BIA can help you answer that question because you can go into your tool or your spreadsheet or your records and say, well, here are the 10 organizations based in the building and here's the revenue loss and here's the impact to reputation and here's the community impact. And whatever your criteria are that you're capturing in the BIA, you'll have it because you've done this work and captured that data.
Absolutely. So the other thing actually you can kind of point out with all of this, I was just thinking as you were talking, is the functions that are not as critical, mm-hmm. right? So you may have originally thought that they were the most critical functions, but actually it's this function over here that's what's keeping the company going. So right. It helps to identify that as well. So where to put the time and energy and money.
Right. And how do you tier the recovery? So when you let's go to our building four example. That building four is down, but I'm going to get back into building four in 48 hours, but only the first floor. Okay, so who do I want to go take the spots on the first floor? Is it the team that's already there, or am I going to prioritize differently based upon the BIA telling me that these eight guys and women that are up on the eighth floor, these are the ones that are most important to get back up first? And not to mention that, but what are their strategies? Like, can they work remotely and all things that you're capturing in their plan?
Right.
Let's talk about how to conduct the BIA. This really changes depending upon whether or not you have a tool, if you have software to be able to do this for you, with you. But manually, you can do this. We've done the BIAs often with an Excel spreadsheet that kind of outlines the questions that we want to ask. We create dropdowns, with information about the client's facilities and technology platforms and position titles and things that you should be able to get in advance. That simplifies your data entry. It makes sure it's consistent, which is very helpful for later analysis and use. Or you can do this in a tool like Archer, Fusion, LDRPS, or one of many different platforms that are out there.
Yeah, which will definitely, it would make life easier if you had that available to you.
It makes it much easier.
Because you can pull reports and things like that from those tools, which makes it really easy to be able to really outline the things that you're trying to outline here. Mm-hmm.
But our typical process is to train the leaders and team, the people from their team that will be doing the BIA, providing them the template or access to the tool, letting them complete the data entry, and doing some follow-up calls or making available some conference calls or on-site support where they can come and talk with you as they're working through the process.
So they understand the questions
right.
that are being asked.
And we often get questions about interpreting some of the questions yep. and what have you. And then you give them a date for the data to be returned, and then we look at and normalize the data. We review that back with them, and then you're done in terms of the initial step with the BIA. But after that, you want to kind of level set this with really their peers on the same operational team and then with the leaders of the organization to really say, hey, okay, of the 80 things that your company does, 40 of them are critical. And these 40 are ranked in the following ways in terms of how they get recovered and why. Like, what drives, why does that have to be recovered within an hour? Well, here's the reasons why that we captured in the BIA. Oh, okay. Or, well, we argued this with the business, but the business disagreed, so we've left it as is. And then as seniors, I can go, well, that's crap because they need to be recovered after these four or five other functions. Then you can realign this based upon executive priorities.
Right. So the executive then buy off at that point, right? So the executives can review all the data that you present to them.
Right.
And then at some point, decisions will need to be made, like you said, on ranking what will be recovered first, what functions. And then lastly, I think, would be the information sharing, right? So once you have all of the information, you've made decisions, you have plans as far as how to move forward and who to create the plans for, you do the information sharing.
Mm-hmm. So that's our view on the traditional BIA. We'll link in the show notes. We have a couple blog posts describing why to do BIAs and what does a BIA look like and what is the BIA. And I think we have a few other resources on the site. So we'll link those in the show notes for you to take a look at. And then in next week's episode, we're going to take a counter view here. And I think we're going to call this episode "To BIA or Not to BIA." That is the question.
Yep.
A little play off of Shakespeare, but the question we're going to ask is, should you do the BIA? There's a growing belief that perhaps the BIA is not the most effective way to build a BC program, and there are some alternate paths to consider. So we'll explore those on next week's episode. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.